B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli, 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades, the wide clef. I'm man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. Mike Missinelli Show. On a Wednesday, you know what that means. It's General Knowledge Wednesday. We broadcast from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast, on 97.5 The Fanatic, on NBC Sports Philadelphia. It is a Wednesday and the day before the Mike Miss Open. So today we'll spill it, because tomorrow we will not be on. We will be on the golf course, the whole crew, Tyrone, Natalie, myself. So we got to take care of some business today. You know, it dawned on me, the Sixer thing is still lingering with us, right? We can't just drop it. We can't forget about the Sixer season. So, the question we really haven't asked yet. Yesterday, we answered all the questions about Brett Brown and why he should be back or not. But we really haven't asked this question to the people, which is a really good question, I think. The question is, was the 2018-19 season a success? Now, when you look at it tangibly, they technically got further than they got last year, because they got to a Game 7, and they got the closest they could come to the Eastern Conference Finals because a miraculous shot beat them. But this is a different topic. I think you can separate the Brett Brown thing and agree that he deserved to be back, but maybe say the Sixers season wasn't a 100% success. So that's the question I want to deal with today. Was it a success in your mind? They didn't get past the second round. Last year, they didn't get past the second round. We were promised better things when they went out and got some players. Now, I know that was mitigated by a lot of stuff. The fact that Embiid was hurt a lot. The fact that they only had 21 games to play together, including the playoffs. All that stuff. But I want you to dig in now on a Wednesday. We're 3 days away from disappointment. We can evaluate something logically. Was the season a success? And what is to come for the Sixers? Do you see an NBA championship on the horizon, or are you still ambivalent to it? Because we have so many questions right now. There's the Butler question. There's the Tobias question. There's the JJ question. There's the draft questions. There are the minimum salary free agent questions. And there are the big questions about Embiid coming back in better shape and Ben Simmons learning how to shoot a jump shot. So where are they really? Two major themes here. Number one, was the season a success? And number two, do you see success on the horizon? And if you do or don't, why or why not? Now, Tyrone, I don't think I've asked you this question. In your mind, was the Sixers season a success, even though they only got to the same place they got last year?
For me, it was a success. Because I look at Simmons and Embiid as growing stars in this league.
Okay.
And what they went through this year, in my personal opinion, and I will not be mad if a fan says it wasn't a success, but the way I approach this whole season is, can these guys learn some lessons that can help them win a title? So Embiid playing hurt versus sitting out hurt was part of the deal for me. He has to learn how to do that. He figured it out. He played.
You have always been down this road of they're too young. And you give them the benefit of youth and lack of experience.
This was it, though. From this moment on, you said, do I see success in the future? That was part two.
Yeah.
I do, and I expect it, because next year, And I've been very consistent. I don't care what Elton Brand does. Those two have to figure out how to get to the finals next season. Like, this year was the final. This was graduation for me.
Uh-huh. So you're giving them a pass for this year, but not next year.
Right.
Your expectations have been cranked up to the point now where there's no room for error.
Right. Because I gave them, and I'm not happy that Ben Simmons didn't shoot. I'm not happy about the condition that Embiid was. But I did see enough positives in the mix when I look at it as a whole. I like Ben Simmons' defense on Kawhi, for example. I did.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I think that you can build on it. Embiid gutting it out through 45 minutes, whatever was wrong with that knee, that matters to me because that tells me that it's in him to do it. Now he has to build on it. So for me, them making it through the year and Embiid making it and not sitting out of game 7, not being on the injured list, not having a surgery in March or April, to me, it was a success for that reason.
Okay. Now I'm a lot less forgiving than you are. I'm a lot less forgiving of youth than you are. So I can't say that the season was a success. I can't. I can't logically say if you don't get past the same point you were eliminated last year, even though it was two games more, that that equates to a success. I would give it, on a success rate, I would give it a B minus, but I can't go to the point and say that it was a success. Well, there's something in me that would prevent that if they didn't get past the round that they didn't get past last year. I don't know how that could be a success. Now, I'm willing to separate that, the issue of should Brett Brown be back, and whether, because normally if the season's not a success, you could tie it to, okay, well, the coach shouldn't be back. But this is different. The coach should be back, although I'm not sure it was an overwhelming success where they got to this year. And I hear what you're saying about the growth and what they could do next year, and they needed this as kind of a stepping stone to get to the NBA Finals. I got all that. But I got to be honest with you, I don't know that that's going to happen next year. I am not convinced that Embiid will come back in better shape, although I sense that he will. He's more likely to do that than Ben Simmons is to come back with a 15-foot jump shot. So I am in a holding pattern. Not only did I say that it wasn't a success, it's a B-minus success, but I am not convinced that next year all the pieces are going to be right for them to get to the NBA Finals. I hope, but there are too many variables for me to say right now that they can do that. They've got to build a bench. They've got to get those two players back. They've got to draft somebody that's going to help them in the future. They got to hope that Zaire Smith can play. Oh, there's a ton of things that I have to count on before I can say, yes, this year was the growth spot to an NBA title.
Well, I hear that, but I think Kawhi Leonard going up against him was tougher than the Celtics. I think if this team played last year's Celtics team or this year's Celtics team, I think they would be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
But that doesn't really matter, does it? They didn't play the safe. They played a tougher team. They were supposed to be better.
And they had three different teams. They didn't have a training camp with that roster. That plays a role. If they had Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris all year, and they only got to the second round. One, the coach should have been fired. And two, it wouldn't be a success.
All right, but you're giving me, a lot of what ifs. I can only judge what is. I can't judge what if. I mean, what is they didn't get past the second round. Therefore, I can't call it an overwhelming success. I'll call it a mild success. That's what a B minus is. But it's not an overwhelming success in my book.
One guy's going to be all NBA. To me, that's a success. That's a step forward to become all NBA level player. The regular season can't count for nothing. Ben Simmons, I think, has become an all defensive player, team player. That's where I'm different. I'm happier with you, but I also have a higher goal next year.
Intangibles than tangible. I'm a tangible man.
But the tangible
The tangible is they didn't pass the second round. So how is that a success?
Because these things don't happen in a vacuum.
Okay.
They didn't have a good enough bench. I can't just say that, Joel, they didn't have a good enough bench. Embiid was plus 90 in that series.
I get it.
That, to me, is a success. A guy who's not 100% being a plus 90, that, to me, that matters to me. That tells me, that's tangible to me. He was plus 90. They were minus 111 with him off the floor. That tells me that's tangible. That's evidence that my superstar, even when he's not at his best, was a superstar and affected the game the way I need him to affect the game.
It's like a tray of cream donuts without the cream. They all look appetizing, and at the end of the day, the cream's not in the middle.
People like the cream donut?
Yeah, you don't.
Whatever. It's just that it was an obscure.
I got you.
It's an analogy.
I hate right?
They look. They look nice on the thing, but in reality, there's no cream inside.
Or jelly.
Right. All right. Yeah. So we'll talk about it. Today's General Knowledge Wednesday, and the prize is a pretty good one. Actually, it's a pair of tickets to see The Who. Now that's a legendary concert at Citizens Bank Park, May 25th. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com, but you will qualify for a pair of tickets to see The Who at Citizens Bank Park today with a correct answer. And here are the categories. The general knowledge category, of course, U.S. states by Wikipedia descriptions. I'm going to give you the description. You got to tell me what state it is that Wikipedia is describing.
Ooh.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
I like that.
Movie multiple choice questions.
Okay.
You get a 1 in 4 chance to get it right. And finally, foreign NBA players quiz. We're in the NBA, in the throes of the NBA playoffs. Foreigners, a lot of foreigners have contributed to that. So we're going to look at the foreign players and their scoring rank in NBA history. That should be fun. 610-632-0975 is how you get by. Get in, I should say. It's the Mike Missinelli Show. It's here on 97.5 The Fanatic, and it's on NBC Sports Philly, and we're back with your calls after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
It's 218, Mike Missinelli Show, 2 o'clock hour. Brought to us by Ferguson HVAC Line, Conklin Attention HVAC Contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia today for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. And it is time to start the Twitter poll, which is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Attention all landscapers, if you're looking to repower a zero-turn or walk-behind mower, Moyer has the best deals around for an engine replacement in stock. Visit paulbmoyer.com for details. Natalie Aganoff.
Thanks, Mike. Just like you stated in the open, was the 2018-2019 Sixers season a success? 52% say yes, 48% say no. Over 700 votes on this early.
All right,
so
now,
close.
Yes, it is close. And I got an email. It was but they regressed. Well, they didn't regress. So it's not a regression. And it's a little bit of progress. But was it a satisfying season? Was it a good season? It was a successful season. That's the question. It's not a bad season, and it's not a regress season. They did make a little progress.
Definitely not a regression.
But was it a successful season is the question. A little later, I want to get into Bryce Harper as well, because right now he looks like a beaten man. Not only does he need one day off, he needs 2 days off. And I was at the game last night, and I was in the second row in right field. And I'm right above him. And his body language and his grim expression tells the tale for me. He is consumed right now by thoughts of not hitting. And when you're consumed by thoughts of not hitting, you're squeezing the bat tighter, and you're not loose up there, and you're not. You can tell he's not tracking the ball. I got some statistics that'll back it. He's two problems right now. He's not tracking the ball. He struck out in the eighth inning on a ball that wasn't even going to be close to being a strike, which tells you he's not tracking the ball right out of the guy's hand. And second of all, his bat's slow right now. Now, when your bat's slow, you need a couple days off. You know, a guy like that should not have a slow bat. He didn't have a slow bat earlier, but he's got this incredible weight of wanting to be successful. You could tell that guy wants to play, and he looks at it like he doesn't need a day off. He needs just more at-bats. Well, no. When your bat is slow, you need a day off. And last night, that play happened right in front of me. He cracked his kneecap on the cement part underneath the cushion of the wall, and the only reason he stayed in, he was up next that inning. He knew he was the leadoff hitter next day. He wanted another at bat.
That's tough.
I admire that he wants to play, and he's tough, but the manager's got to overrule. When your bat is slow, you've got to step back and go, okay, let me take a breath. It's like the old radiators. Remember you have to bleed the radiators?
Yeah.
You hit the pressure valve. You let a little pressure out. That's what he needs right now.
You know, I think it's related, sort of like with Embiid, where they were, I saw the thing that Rich Hoffman wrote when the Sixers first played Toronto. Kawhi had already sat out six games, and Embiid had played every. I think because the knock has been, one of the knocks on him has been durability. He has a mindset where he's going to play 162 this year, and the manager's mentioned it. And I think that he's locked into that. And the manager now,
because
I
afraid
think
of him.
Right, because they had to talk about it. Right, because they had to talk about it, and they sort of, I think they kind of agreed, yeah, man, if you can go, you'll play 162. Yeah. And now the manager has to pull back from what he agreed to.
Listen, the manager, you could tell, was afraid of him last night. He's talking to him. I saw he banged, his knee into the, he crushed his knee in on the concrete.
He should have came out.
Should have came out of the game.
For sure.
But he's thinking, I'm the leadoff hitter next day. I'm coming out of here now. So the manager's got to go Holmes. Let's go.
Right. He might, and if he needs a day, the manager, forget what you talked about. Say, I'm sorry, you're going to play 161. But I can't let
you play
160.
No, you're going to play 160 because I'm giving you 2 days off now.
Well, you
I'm not one day. I'm giving you 2 days off.
But couldn't you give him a day off right before a day off so he gets two days while he's sitting one game?
Yeah, but I think he's got to sit and watch the game for a couple games. He's got to watch the pitcher. He's got to track baseballs with his eyes. In spring training, he rarely took a swing. When they were sending guys out there against him, they had most minor leaguers out there when he first joined the team. He wasn't really up there to be offensive. He was there to track the ball.
Yeah, you mentioned
that.
So
he was watching the ball. That's what he's got to do now. He's not tracking the ball. That swing in the eighth inning was horrendous. He didn't even see it. That's not a great pitcher that's throwing that breaking pitch either. All right, let's go to Mike and Del Ram. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I think the Sixers question is a great question. I think the season and the way it ended was a success, but I think the execution to get there was kind of a failure. And the reason I come up with that is, like, I'll ask the question a different way. Was there anything they could have done from, let's say, the All-Star break to that Game 7 that they could have done differently that may have changed the outcome of how they could have finished? And I think there's a lot of things that they did differently. I think 2 years of Ben Simmons not shooting hurts. I think Joel Embiid's load management, you know, wasn't executed the best.
I think that you hit on it right there. It wasn't executed the best.
It just wasn't executed. And Elton Brand made the right moves. I think it's fair to say that if all these guys come back, that next season your expectations should be the NBA Finals. I look out west and I look at Portland, right? Like Portland has had a great playoffs, right? They had a great Game 7. They're going to get stomped by Golden State.
Yeah.
And they'll be able to go home and say, you know what? There was just nothing else we could have done, right? And we know that. Golden State, when Durant's healthy, that team is going to probably win another championship. But for us, you know, when you lose a Game 7 to a team like that on a quadruple doink bounce that goes in, you know, it's tough to swallow. You're forced to look back and to see what you could have done differently to not get yourself in that position. You should have won Game 4, right? Joel Embiid should have been taking care of his body more with what he eats or whatever. Yeah. I'm speculating.
No, but, I agree with everything you're saying. I feel the same way about the season. The squandered opportunities will haunt me for a long time. So when I go success or failure, it's not a failure.
Right.
But to me, it's not like an overwhelming success either. You didn't get past where you got past last year.
Right.
And I know the future's bright. I get all that. But the future is dependent on so many gears that have to mesh.
Yeah, I'm just blah about it. There were so many positive and negatives. You're forced to just look at them.
All right, man. You want to play general knowledge?
Yeah, it was
all right, here it is. For who tickets? Okay. What country, this is the general knowledge category, what country is commonly but inaccurately known as Holland?
Scotland?
No, it is the Netherlands.
Ah, yes.
People call it Holland for some reason.
Tulips.
And also the Dutch.
Yes, the Dutch, too. Tulips and the clogs.
Yep,
the windmills.
The live in a boathouse.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, actually, somebody from the Netherlands is in the NBA quiz.
Really?
Oh, perfect.
Uh-huh.
Oh, how about that?
Look at that tie-in.
The NBA Foreign Players Quiz, which we'll get to fourth in the pecking order. Let's go to Glenn in Roxborough. Glenn, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Glenn.
Afternoon, gentlemen and lady.
What's up, Glenn?
This season was a failure, and it was a bust. Didn't bring these guys in here to lose prior to the Eastern Conference Finals. We were sold on you brought these guys in here to mesh and to get us to at least the NBA Finals. We were told at the beginning of this process, that by now we would be competing in the finals. And I followed this process nonsense in spite of the fact I hate it All of us OGs hate this nonsense. This generation that loves it, you guys, we don't get you. But Ben Simmons and Embiid have proven to us, especially a guy like me who went to Overbrook, where Wilt went, played in the old gym where Wilt Chamberlain played, touched Wilt Chamberlain's locker. These kids are
soft. Oh, good for you.
These kids are soft, man. And we were supposed to get better than this. We actually believe what Josh Harris said. He told us that we thought, rather, that Brett Brown's job was on the line. We found out that's BS.
No, I think it was definitely on the line. I just said he had to wait for a Game 7 finish to hire him back.
So
anything short of a Game 7 finish, you wonder what he would be thinking.
The guy that should be the coach of this team, unfortunately, has just been sent off to Phoenix, so they had to keep Brett now.
Who, Monty Williams?
Monty Williams could have coached this team. He would have done better than Brett.
Why? What was Monty Williams' track
record? I'll tell you why, Mike. I'm going to tell you why the players want him back. The players want him back because they can run all over Brett Brown. He's like the substitute chief.
Well, they couldn't run all over Monty Williams? Where is he a disciplinarian?
These guys.
It's about gentle souls you're going to get, Monty Williams.
These guys don't want the discipline they need.
Come on, you're too old school, man. You've been touching Wilt's old locker too long.
Let me ask you this, Mike. Why are reporters afraid to ask Ben Simmons to shoot questions? Why don't you shoot questions? Why are they?
They kind of ask it. They don't ask it direct because he intimidates you in a lot of ways, Ben Simmons. So the reporters are a little bit. Well, he does. He's got the stare. He gives you a stare down, so you're afraid to get on his bad side if you're a reporter.
You know what? I need to take my credentials and stop talking about politics. Maybe I need to show up down here and start talking about sports with somebody who has a pair.
Glenn, you want a general knowledge question?
Afraid to ask a question. Yeah, give me a question.
Here's the general knowledge question. It is U.S. states by Wikipedia description. The 48th state and last of the contiguous states to be admitted to the Union.
That's
a good question.
That is a good question. The 48th state.
When you repeat it, you don't know. When you repeat it, you're buying time. And can't have the food, you buy time. Because if you buy time, you might be buying Google. So what is the last contiguous state to be admitted to the Union? Boys and girls in there.
I'm a guess.
I'm going to guess, too, because I don't know this.
It's got to be around Arizona.
That is correct.
Ow. I was thinking
it is Arizona,
New Mexico, or something like that.
You would have been in the ballpark,
close, right?
You've been in the neighborhood of churches.
Mm-hmm.
You just may have not picked the right one.
Wrong pew, right church, wrong pew.
Well, not exactly the right church.
All
either.
Right,
boom,
right,
you got
right neighborhood,
right neighborhood,
not the right church.
Wrong block.
Wrong block.
Yeah, same church, around the block though. It just looks like just like it.
Yeah, you got that right. Listen, the season was not a failure. There's nobody can sit here and say the season was a failure. But I can't sit here and say it was an overwhelming success either. What I will allow, Tyrone, is it was a semi-success. But the semi is in lowercase.
I can live with that.
You live with that?
Because the way I look at it, I know it's different. Now, that the previous caller went too far the other way.
He did, because he's bitter.
Yeah.
And he's an old school guy. The kids today are, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I touch Wilt's locker.
But yeah, if your initial thing, I can't argue with that. They did not make it to the next round. I'm just getting I'm all in on next year. I've been all in on next year.
You're letting that bleed into your evaluation this year.
No, because I expected a lot of that. My expectations, what happened was in line with my expectations. I thought the warts that young players have would show, and they did. Now they're out of the way. Now I have a zero tolerance policy. But I expected what happened to happen.
All right. Zero tolerance probably next year. Angry Tyrone?
Yep.
Shows up next year?
Full bore.
James in Germantown. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. James. James.
My expectations, what happened?
James, you're listening to your radio. All right, let's try to bleed in on him and tell him the radio thing, you can't listen to it because it throws you off. We have a delay system here. All right, so let's go to Dean in Philly. Dean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dean?
Yo, Mikey, how's it going?
Good, Dean.
Definitely, I'm not going to call it a failure. I think that the season was a success. Got stabbed pretty good in the heart there in Game 7, so the wounds are still fresh. But I have an asterisk up in the corner next to success, And that is all dependent on Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris coming back next season. Because if they don't, then we're kind of back to where we were last year.
Unless they get another marquee free agent, agreed. Which you would not argue with if it's Klay Thompson or KD.
No way. No, I agree with you. I agree with you there. What I would like to do real quick is submit some evidence in defense of Tyrone in a conversation you guys had maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago concerning has this team gone through enough pain to win something?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is a little, when I was listening to it, I didn't think so. I didn't think the point had too much validity. But now that I'm looking at it, I think that this...
The pain is good, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that pain is good. It's, uh-huh. It's a growing.
Yeah, what do you got? You got a dire wolf back there?
It's yeah, I actually do.
All right. So the pain, you think they have to go through the pain. See, I agree half. They weren't going to win the NBA championship. They were more pain to win the NBA championship. But I thought they could have played against Milwaukee.
I agree.
You know, so that's really the extent of what I wanted. If they had played against Milwaukee and lost to Milwaukee, then I go, that's more to pain. But not getting to Milwaukee, like, I think they should be able to overcome the pain they have to go through just to get to that final. That's what I was thinking.
I'm with you.
I can't say that it was a success. Not an overwhelming success, anyway.
I agree.
All right, man. You want a general knowledge question?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Multiple choice movie questions.
Ooh, all right.
All right. Which of these is not a real job title that appears in movie credits? Splicer, Best Boy, Gaffer, Key Grip.
I'm going to go with Best Boy.
Best Boy would be incorrect. Oh. Best Boy actually is a job title. Splicer is not a job title in the movie credits. Huh. So when you look for credits next time, look for Best Boy, you'll see it.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't
know
what it is. But I know I remember seeing it on the screen when it scrolled.
Now,
because I'm a guy that likes to sit and watch the credits.
I like the credits too.
I always thought I'd be a good grip, whatever they do. I assumed that I would be a good grip.
I thought a film splicer was a thing.
But I don't know if that's...
And that's the editor.
That's the editor. You splice together stuff.
So it's not technically called like a splicer.
Wait.
The editor is more than a splicer.
No, so there is such thing as a film splicer, and I know this because...
Right, but it's not in the credits that's an editor.
No, I know.
Okay. All right, so what's Best Boy? Did you look at Best Boy?
Booney has it.
Really?
Is the assistant to the department head.
Assistant to the department head?
Yeah.
That's probably a low-level job.
Why has it got to be a boy?
Sounds like a low... Low-level job.
I can think of some reasons why they called it a boy.
Best person.
Best person. They should change it.
Bet you there was some other negative connotations with that.
Maybe.
Back in the day.
Possible.
Yeah.
Let's go to Bob in Hanover. Bob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Hey, Mike. How's it going
today?
What's
up, Bob?
Not much. Answer your question. I got to, at best, say the season for me was a push and with the... And very disappointing because I think the Sixers starting five should have been able to dominate and win that series and allow for the weak bench, even, you know, with their faults. And I've been thinking about this a while, and I'm just wondering what it was like to be in the shoes of Tobias Harris, Jimmy Butler, and J.J. Redick, because they had to wait and see what kind of game there was in front of them with Ben Simmons and Embiid every time they played. And they never got to shoot the shots that they were comfortable with. They were always working hard and shooting from outside.
I'm not so sure I agree with that. I think by the end, both of them got comfortable shots. Tobias didn't make a lot of comfortable shots over the last couple of games. Butler took over in one of those games, and he didn't have the greatest game seven, but they were getting their shots.
Now, do you think that J.J. Redick works extremely hard to get his shots compared to like a Klay Thompson? I know the teams are different.
No, yeah, J.J. was working hard. They just walled him off. You know, he has to come off screens. If he comes off screens and they got him walled off, there's not much he can do. Like they had to work extra hard to get him some shots in that last game.
I just think it's all tied into Embiid and Simmons and what they were going to present.
Well, I mean, that's certainly a factor because you never knew from game to game whether Ben was going to play or whether Joel was going to be healthy. So that was a factor, no question. All right, Bob, you want a general knowledge question here for tickets for the Hoop? Foreign NBA players by scoring rank. Now, we know number one is easy. Germany, that would be Dirk Nowitzki. Number two is from Nigeria. Who is it?
That would be Olajuwon.
That is correct. Hakeem Olajuwon, number two, behind Dirk Nowitzki, country of origin, Nigeria.
So that we got the first three wrong.
Yeah, this goes all the way down to 20, but no, 30. But
really?
Yes. It's ranked 1 to 30.
That's tough.
Well, I'm gonna give you hints.
I know.
I'm just not going to give you the country. I'm going to give you hints to get the guy.
All right
now, Olajuwon is self-explanatory. But it gets harder as we go along. Brian in West Philly, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Brian.
Yo, Mike, what's going on, baby?
What's up, Brian?
How you doing, man?
Good.
I'm taking off speakerphone. So, I'm just giving the call because I cut you guys on in the beginning of the show. And you and Tyrone were talking about a success and not a success and how to judge it. And I'll be the first to say I'm not a Sixers fan, but I love basketball. And I was pulling for you guys.
That's a violation.
But how are you not a Sixers fan, West Philly?
I don't even want to get into it, Mike. I don't even want to waste my time on it, Mike. It just,
well,
I didn't grow up.
I'm curious.
Nah,
are you,
Mike.
Are you a West Philly native? You're not a Sixers fan?
Yeah, I'm not a Sixers fan. I'm not an Eagles fan, Mike. That's for another day, Mike. That's for another day. Right. I just want to stick to the game. So
okay.
I think, I'll tell you at the end of the phone call. How about that? But I think, I'll give you a little hint with my football team. We got a former Super Bowl champion this offseason. Thank you. I'll give you a hint with my football
team. All right, go ahead with your point.
But as far as the Sixers, I think that you're kind of underestimating the greatness that Kawhi showed this series. And I say that because I feel like he gave the Sixers a lesson on how to want it and how to go about it. I feel like with Simmons, I'll take Simmons as an example. I feel like on the defensive end, though he played well, I do not think he matched the intensity that Kawhi brought to him offensively.
Well, Kawhi is one of the top three players.
Now, great. It's a big age disparity, experience. Well, no, I totally got you. And that's why I said it's a lesson. You gave him a lesson because I feel like when you highlight that inbounds pass, there is no way in hell that Kawhi Leonard should not have been denied the ball in that position.
That's not as easy as you think. A great player gets free. A great player gets free.
He got through
traffic and he got to the top free. I mean, that you can't like blanket a guy.
No, you could.
Once he gets it, you can defend it, but you can't blanket it from getting the ball in most cases.
So when you look at the replay, why did Simmons quit on the end of the play? Why didn't he trail Embiid?
Because Embiid stepped in for him. Like he would have collided with Embiid.
Come on,
Mike. It was a classic switching defense. Now, I said it before. Maybe Ben was a little slow to get his left side out there so he could prevent Kawhi from going where he wanted to go. I mean, that's a possibility. He could have pushed him out further, but again, you're risking a foul in that particular situation. So you trail, you do the best you can. A big body comes in your space. The big body takes over to make it harder. There was nothing wrong with the way they defended that last play. But it's just like a receiver knows where he's going. A defender doesn't. That's why it's so hard to be a cornerback in this league. It's like a guy receiving the ball in basketball is going through bodies to get to a spot to be free. You don't know where he's going. He's got control where he's going. So he's always can get the ball. Where he gets the ball is the crucial part. And where he got the ball was way up top where he had to travel about 45 feet to get to the right side. So it's a great player making a great play. 610-632-0975 is how you get in. Mike Missinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
9:46. Mike Misnelli Show, 97.5. All right, the NBA draft lottery was last night, right? And Knicks don't get the first round pick. Those people in New York all cheesed. But they're going to get R.J. Barrett. So, you know, it's not that dead of a loss. Zion, I know, is the prize. I get it because of the splash and fire he brings. R.J. Barrett's a pretty good player, too. But here's the question. He was visibly disappointed.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So the cousin and I were talking about a little bit as he was coming out of the studio, I was coming in. What is wrong with, why don't people want to go to New Orleans? What's so bad about New Orleans as an NBA city?
As an NBA city, they're not a great NBA city.
Why not?
They don't have great fans.
Why wouldn't they have great NBA fans?
They just don't. I don't know why they don't. They didn't. Chris Paul didn't like it down there. They don't have great fans. For whatever reason, they're not a great basketball city. They're a great football city. Saints players love being down there. No basketball players liked it down there. Has liked it so far. For a long term. I think it's just...
It's a good city, though.
It's a great city. I love New Orleans.
So it doesn't make sense to me.
But if I'm going to the arena, and it'll be full at first because of him.
Mm-hmm.
But I also want a knowledgeable fan base. In Philadelphia, there's passion and knowledge. Down there, you'll have some fans in the seats, but I don't think they're a passionate fan base. People don't like it down there. Why didn't Chris Paul like it?
I don't know. Chris Paul's a kook.
Well, I'm saying no one. Anthony Davis didn't like it.
I didn't like it because of management.
Anthony Davis didn't like it. And it's also that same owner.
I guess it's distasteful as Zion because he had people putting it in his brain. He'd go to New York, he'd be the king of New York, all the endorsements, blah, blah, blah. So the secondary market wouldn't appeal to him.
Also, look what happened when they got to four. L.A., the Knicks, Memphis, New Orleans are left. So he had to think that New York or L.A. was at least a possibility. And then you find out even Memphis has big basketball fans, even though just they are very passionate about it.
Mm-hmm.
You end up with the least passionate fan base of the four.
The Pelicans play at the Smoothie King Arena, don't they?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's where they play.
I actually don't know where they play, but yeah, I don't know.
I think that's why, though. That fan base, it's a great city. Also, it's not a great city when you're under 21.
All right.
So for the first 2 years, he's going to have a dry time down there.
All right, so in a three-player draft, the Sixers have their own pick in the first round.
Yep.
And four second-round picks?
Four second-round picks. Yep.
So I'm looking at a mock draft, right? This is Tyrone's worst nightmare. What's the college team that he hates more than anything? Virginia. He hates Virginia.
Hate him.
He hates the fact that they had two white guards.
I don't hate that.
Yes, you do.
I don't hate that.
Yes, you do. So I'm looking at this mock draft, right? And listen, I hate white guards too, but there's certain ones that can play. And the one that can play on that team is Ty Jerome.
Yes, he can play.
So Ty Jerome, this mock draft had the Sixers at 24 taking Ty Jerome.
I'm on board with
but
that.
But that's not enough.
No.
In the second round, they got their first pick being Kyle Guy. They went Virginia Caucasian in his mock draft.
I couldn't stomach that. And it's not because of the Caucasian. I could not stomach if the Sixers draft two Virginia players, I'll be so disappointed on draft night. I'll be so upset.
Ty Jerome, a possibility at 24. You like that?
I do actually like that.
He can play.
He can play.
Guard, he can play point guard, he can play off the ball.
He can shoot, he can really shoot. He's a gamer. I think he's mentally tough. I think he checks a lot of boxes.
6'5"?
Right, for a bench player in this league, I think he checks a lot of boxes, actually. Imagine trading the 10 TJ minutes of no way he's going to shoot a corner three.
Ty Jerome.
Who will shoot a corner three and make it. That alone makes it worth it. I actually like that. I would like that if that was to happen.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Jim in Haddon Heights. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Michael, how are you?
What's going on, Jim?
Not much. Sunday's game, obviously tough. It's kind of like, not like football because it becomes part of your week, you know, and all of a sudden it's gone. So it's tough loss in many circles.
All right. So the success rate then, because it's very interesting. This is a wide and varied opinion. According to my email, it's on one side or the other.
Okay. I am on the side of, you're saying as far as, are you over it? No, I'm not over it.
No, was the season a success?
Oh, was the season a success?
Yes.
Yes.
It was. All right, now tell me why you think it was a success.
Because I think they had every chance of winning Game 7. They could have went either way. And I think, unless we lose players going forward, but I think we had every chance. That was my comment is on Embiid. I just felt like he played his heart out. But, I mean, going into the game, we knew the stats said he had to be on the floor. But I just think he looked so exhausted, and he played between the three-point lines, and it almost became counterproductive. And I felt like even a break, if we could hold our own for a little bit, may have been a better way to go.
Yeah, but you saw they couldn't. They couldn't hold their own.
Yeah.
They had four backup centers, three backup centers that were useless.
Yeah.
Really. And that's got to change next year. They got to get guys that can play meaningful minutes.
Because if they can do that, I think. Yeah, so I think it was
I got you.
Couple points. Looking at next year with Harris and Jimmy, I mean, do you see like them keeping him, or do you think there's someone out there, one or two people that are comparable to fill that void?
No, I think they want to keep both of them, and it's their choice whether they want to stay. And I might, good. If it's their choice, I'm thinking that maybe one of them is not going to return. So we'll just have to wait and see. And if one of them does return, well, then they have options. They can get a bigger name free agent if they want to play here, which I don't know if KD or Klay Thompson would want to play here.
Do you think if Brett Brown, anything's conditioned upon Brett Brown staying or going?
No. No, he's staying.
No, I'm saying, okay, but if one of them did not get along, would there be any chance of, like, Jimmy?
No, I don't think it was contingent on that. When Tobias Harris's case, maybe it was. Tobias Harris didn't think he was used right. I don't know who he thinks he is. Seriously, I mean, listen, he's a good player, and he's going to get overpaid because he's a good player if the kid stays with the Sixers. But come on, man. I mean, you're a blender. He's not a star. He's a blender. A very good player. Can help you.
Yeah, he's
not Butler.
Right, and what exactly were they going to do with him on the fly? Because you know Simmons needs the ball, and you got to run pick and roll with Butler. What else were you going to do for him?
I don't know. In any event, we're going to thank the people. Tomorrow is the Mike Mizanelli Open, and providing our lunch. Now, these people in Phoenixville know this place. Foresta's Market has dropped off some food for us today. It's exceptional. And they're going to serve up breakfast tomorrow's Mike Miss Open. And if you stop by Foresta's Market, you try their rustic Italian hoagie. Check this out. Have you tried this, Nat?
Had
the rustic Italian?
I had the smoked stack.
Okay, I did. I had the smoked stack as well. It's made with Dietz and Watson, sopressata, prosciutto, hot cabagool, fresh mozzarella, roasted red peppers, and hoagie dressing on a corporally seeded roll with balsamic glaze.
They all have a piece of that, too.
That kicked up Italian. For Memorial Day grilling needs or graduation party catering, choose Foresta's Market at the corner of Bridge Street and Pothouse Road in Phoenixville, PA. All right? We'll continue with our Wednesday conversation, General Knowledge Wednesday. Who tickets are the prize today? It's the Mike Mizanelli Show. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.